Today's Daf Yomi Shir is Brachos Daf Lamed Vov. And we're beginning towards the very bottom of Lamed Hey Omid Beis by the two dots, five lines up from the bottom. Gufa. We repeat what we just learned in the previous Gemara. Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel. It was the opinion of Yehuda Amr Shmuel. V'chein Amr Yitzhak Amr Yochanan. Amr Yitzhak said the same thing in the name of Yochanan. And we had said that Shem and Zayis Mevorech and Olav Borei Priyo Eitz, that on olive oil you make a Borei Priyo Eitz. So Gemara says, what exactly type of ingestion of the olive oil is this? Hechidami. Ilei mo dekoshosi lei. If you're talking about just straight drinking olive oil, ozuke mazik lei, it's damaging to a person. And we learned in the Tosefta and Trumos, the Tanya, hashos Hashem and shol Truma, if somebody drinks Truma oil, Mishalim Sekerim, you only have to pay back the principal, Dehenu Mishalim Sechomish. You don't have to pay back the additional Chomish, as Rashi says, because the Chomish is only for something that is Achila, that's a normal way of eating things. And this is as opposed to Prat Lemazik, something that will damage you. Drinking olive oil, that's not a normal thing for a person to do. Nobody drinks olive oil. So therefore, you only pay for the principal that you destroyed by drinking it, but not a Chomish. But hasach shem and shel truma, if you anoint yourself with shem and shel truma, so then you have to pay not only for the principal, mishalem is a karen, but also mishalem is a chomish. Then you also pay for the chomish. So obviously we're not talking about you making a borei priya eitz on drinking olive oil. That's mazik, so you wouldn't do anything. Ella, you know what we're talking about, the ka'ochule aide pas. You're using some olive oil to eat with bread. And that's why you make a bari pri ha'etz. The Gemara says, if that were the case, however, ihachi, then you wouldn't make any bracha on the olive oil. Have you lay pas ikur, the pas is the critical food over here, the hu tafel, and the olive oil would be tafel to it. And we have a rule, we learn this in the Mishnah, Mirtzashem, Sa'a klal, koshu ikur, vimo tvela. Anytime you eat the important main item and the subordinate item with it, so you only make a bracha, mevarech ala ikur, upodres a tvela. You only make the bracha on the main thing, and that exempts you. You don't have to make it, even if you're eating the other thing alone by itself for a moment. The classical example would be cereals and milk. So you make, let's say, a mazonos on the cereals, let's say it's oats, and you make a mazonos on the cereal, and then even if you have a spoonful of milk, you don't make a separate shahako because it's subordinate to the cereal. So to over here, the oil is subordinate to the bread, so you wouldn't make a bar priates on the oil in that situation. So what is the situation that you're making a bar priates on oil? Gemara says, you know, we're talking about a lekoshosi le aide anigron. You're drinking it as part of this concoction known as an anigron. Rashi says this is considered a food. It is oil added to this well-known dish called anigron, and that's why you make the bracha on the oil. The Amar Rabbi Bar Shmuel, anigron. What is this anigron? It is maya de silka. It is, as Rashi says, mayim shesholku behem tardin. It's something that you have soaked in beets. So this is the water that beets were soaked into, maybe something like a borscht, and then you add oil to it. And the Aruch adds over here, you also put into it wine, and you put into it brine, and you put into it dugim, all sorts of other things as well in this concoction known as anigron. But oil is a major part of it. And sigron is something else. Others have the gears of ach sigron. That's a maya de kulu shalki. As Rashi says, it's komeni yarek shalok. This is all sorts of stewed vegetables in this dish over here. And that's why on this anigron you make a bar p'eitz. Gemara says, im kain, havalei anigron ikar, v'shemen tofel. So then again, the anigron, this concoction over here, that is the critical thing. And whatever the main ingredient is in the anigron, that would get the bracha, and the oil is tofel to it. And the oil wouldn't get a bar p'eitz in that situation as well. Which not, as we've already learned, call a zaklal. Kol shu ikar b'motveil, if you ever have something that is the ikar thing, and then you have the subordinate thing with it, you only make the bracha, v'rachal ikar b'potveil tveila. So then, again, what are we talking about that you make a bar p'eitz on this oil? So Gemara says, you know, we're talking about Hochma Yaskinon, the Choshesh Begrono, talking about somebody that has a sore throat. And as Rashi says, it's Tzorech Lasis Bo Shem and Harbe, that you're putting in a lot of oil in the throat to soothe the throat. It's the cough drops of those days. And therefore, that's why you have to make a Bar P'eitz on it. The Tanya, because we learned in the Tosefta and Trumas as well, a Choshesh Begrono, if somebody has a sore throat, Lo Yarenu B'Shemen, Tchilo B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to go, and on Shabbos, go and gargle with that oil. However, but you can add a lot of oil into this anigron, and then uboleya, and this is called eating the anigron, but now the main ingredient of the anigron is not the other stuff in it, but it's the oil, and that's why you would make a bari priya eitz. That's what we're actually talking about over here. Rashi points out over here, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do anything that's clear for revua. It's a gzera from shchikas samamonim, that you may go and grind things up on Shabbos. should be nesed deraisa. The rabbis forbade you to do any sort of refuah on Shabbos unless you're dealing with a cholish yesh bo sakana, a person who is deathly ill, and sometimes even for a person who is not deathly ill but he's a cholish she'ein bo sakana, you can also do certain types of medications for him, isurim derabbanan. That's not our subject for now, but in any event, so this anigron over here, the reason why you're allowed to take it is because it's normal to eat this anigron, and even though you're doing it for medicinal purposes, but the main ingredient now is the oil. That's why you make a bar priate. Gemara says pshita, obviously. Gemara says not so obvious. Mal detema, I might have thought on my own. Kiv de lufua komakavin. The whole reason you're eating this anigron, drinking this anigron with the oil in it, is as Gemara says, de lufua komakavin. You're doing this for medicinal purposes. And one might have thought in this situation, lo livri chalei klal, that maybe you don't make any bracha on it at all. Komashulon, kivin this lehano amine, since you're getting benefit from it, boy bruche, you do have to make a bracha. Tosus points out this has huge halacha lemaisa ramifications, and this is lahalacha. Tosus bring down if a person drinks something, and even though he's drinking it over here for medicinal purposes, but if you're getting benefit from it, so then you do have to make a bracha on it. So somebody takes a pill with orange juice, so you have to make a shakel on the orange juice. If you're just taking water, however, for the pill, and you're not thirsty, and you're not getting any pleasure, so to say, from drinking the water, so then you wouldn't make a shahakol on taking water with a pill. So it has to do over here whether you get hanoah from it or not. In general, if a person's in doubt, so just take a sip of the water first and drink it, make a shahakol and enjoy the water, and then go take the rest of your medication that you need with the water. And this way, you don't have any concerns. The Gemara continues and says, "Kim chod dechiti." What about if a person is eating over here? Rashi says, "Ochel kemachitim kimoshihi." If you're eating over here grains of wheat as they are. Tosus expands on this a little bit and says that we're talking not over here about flour, because who eats flour? That's not shaykh to make a bracha on it at all. Bari priya dhamma. Ella, we're talking here, b'kimcha shikorin ishklatir, some sort of a foreign word over here, which the Tosus Arash and others say it refers to kemach she'enu nitchan kolkach v'yeshbo adayin tamchita. It's some sort of a ground up type of a grain that still has a taste of the wheat in it. So whatever this exactly is, so if you have this and you're eating this, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Bari Pri Adam, you make a Bari Pri Adam on this. This is similar to when you're chewing grains, you make a Bari Pri Adam on them. Rabbi Nachman, no, Shakol Niyabidvar, you make only a Shahakol on it. It's lost its status of being a grain, and now you're just having Shahakol. Amli Rabbi Rav Nachman, Rabbi said to Rav Nachman was the one that said Shahakol. He said, Lo Tiflo Galei Rabbi Yehuda, don't argue with Rabbi Yehuda, who said Bari Pri Adam, because not only Rabbi Yehuda says this, but the Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, the generation earlier of great Aram Amorayim, Kaimi Kavasa, they both hold like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kishmuel, opinion was stated by Rabbi Yehuda himself. And likewise, Chayin Omer Yitzchak, who stated in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shem and Zayis, on Shem and Zayis, as we just learned, Mavarch lo bar priya eitz. You make a bar priya eitz on Shem and Zayis. Alma, what do you see? Afal gab dishtane, even though it was changed from the original fruit, b'milse koi, it still remains something that you make a bar priya eitz. So to over here, this grain, hochanami, afal gab dishtane, even though the grain was changed, is ground up somewhat, nevertheless, b'milse koi, it retains the status of being a grain, and when you chew grains, you make a bar priya Dhamma. So that's what Rava told Rav Nachman. Gemara says, however, me tell me, are those two cases comparable? Hasum lesle iluya achrina. In regards to the oil, there's nothing better. You can't make it into a higher level. So therefore, it retains the bracha of Bari Pri Eitz. But hacha, by the grains, isle iluya achrina, bepas, you could turn it into bread. So therefore, who says it stays the same bracha? Are you going to tell me, v'chi isle ilu yachrina, lo mirach nolei bar pri adama? So what do you want to suggest then? That if it could go up to a high level, you shouldn't make a bar pri adama, you should make a shahakol? El shahakol? That's not true. V'amar v'zeiru, amar v'masna, amar shmuel, on something that is known as korah, a korah, on korah, korah is usually translated as pumpkins, chaya, that are raw, they're not cooked, and likewise with kimcha desari and barley flour, mevorach and alayu shakol niyabidvoro. On these, you only make a shahakol. So barley is the exception to the rule. Barley flour, you make a shahakol, implying that the others, my lav the chitim, bar pri adama. Doesn't that imply that on chitim you do make a bar pri adama, even though there's a higher level that it could go to, ayibi bread? Shmuel says, no. The chitim nami shakol niyabidvoro. This mandiyam would say that even grains of wheat that were ground up into kemach, into flour, you'd also make a shakol nevidvaru. I want you to tell me that. Belish me'inon, tell me the chite, that even ground wheat, you only make a shakol, and I'll certainly know the koshke in the siri, the sari, I'll certainly know the barley you'd only make a shakol on. Of course, no. Iash me'inon the chite, if you told me chite, you know what I would have said? On chite, you make a shakol. Ha, the mina, hani, mili, the chite. Avol, the sari, lo levarach alei klal. I would have said, don't make any bracha to a barley sung so low, so to say, that you don't even make a bracha on it. Therefore, kamash one, that's why you have to be mechadish to us to tell us that barley over here, you also make a shahakol on it, and certainly the wheat as well. Gemara says, why would I think not? is the barley grain over here, is that the flour of the barley, is that so little that I would say it's even worse than salt, melach, and zomis? Zomis, we'll see, is translated on the side, and the aruch is maruk, some sort of a juice or a gravy over here. And the Torah in Aruch Chaim says it's like salt water. And the Shittim Kumbetzis says that this is a maruk, some sort of a gravy, shenikrash, it's like congealed, kemo zuamis, al shem shemeskabu bo zuamis atavshel. It picks up like all the wastes and the secretion, so to say, of the tavshel. And others say that it means over here, tzir melach, it means some sort of like a briny salt water. In any event, whatever this actually is, this zuamis, so people go and put this in their mouth. Ovid inish, the shadi lepume, and you make a shakal on it. So certainly over here, the Sari, people also put it in their mouth, you should at least make a shakal. Who would ever have a meaning to say you don't even make a shakal? So he says, no. Avol kimcha de sari hol v'kosha l'kukiani. However, this barley flour over here causes intestinal worms. Rashi says over here, kukiani or toloim shebemeayim. So therefore, lo livrich le'klal. Here I might have thought that you don't make any brach at all because it's dangerous to a person. Kamashallah, no. Kivin de isli hanoa mine, since he does benefit from it, even though there's a risk to it, boy brucha, you do in fact have to go and make a bracha. We said before that on oil, which is dangerous, you don't make any bracha at all. Why on the kukiani do you make a bracha? So the Beis Yosef, the Sefer Beis Yosef brings down that this tastes good. This barley over here tastes good, and therefore when the people eat it, they're getting a benefit from it, and even it may have an adverse side effect to it that it causes these intestinal worms. Nevertheless, you still make a bracha on it. Then the Gemara tells us, kura, what is kura? Rashi says this is the soft part of a dekel, so of like a palm tree. Shishanof of Gedalim, Bechol Shana Vishana. Each year, new bark is grown over here, like all trees that they grow. And the initial new growths are very soft. They only harden the following year. So these are like these soft parts of the palm. Some call this like a heart of palm or something similar to that. In any event, this is called Kura. Now, this Kura, Rav Yehuda Omer, Bari Pri Adama. Rav Yehuda says you make a Bari Pri Adama, and Shmuel says, and Shmuel is his Rebbe, Shmuel says, Sha'akon the Ebed Vavar. You see from here that a Talmud is allowed to argue with his Rebbe, as soon as he's reached the stage that he's right to argue with his Rebbe. In any event, he says, because Peru, because he says, this is like the tree. So it's a growth of the tree. It's not a fruit itself, so you don't make a Bar Pri Eitz, but you make a Bar Pri Adama. And Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says it's relatively insignificant, so while you get Hanah from, you have to make a Bracha, and therefore Shmuel says, Amar Sha'akon the Ebed Vavar. Since it's eventually going to become hardened and not edible, so you only make a shahakol on it. Now Shmuel said shahakol, but he praised Rabbi Yehuda's Talmud. Amalei Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel tells his Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda, shinina. Shinina usually means you sharp one. There is an interesting perish that says that it means he had long teeth, and he called him you long-toothed one. But that's somewhat disparaging, so therefore most of them farshim say it means you called him you sharp one. Kavasech listabra. Shmuel said, I actually like your shita better than mine. I like your idea that you say bar pri adama. It's mistavra. It makes good sense. Why? The hatsnon, radishes, which also a beginning are soft, but so full of hakshos, they become hard in the end. And yet, so it will be this heart of palm, this palm sprout over here, which originally is soft and then becomes hard, should be like the radishes, which originally are soft and then become hard, and you make a bari pri adama. So I like your shita, Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Gemara says, Velohi, that's actually incorrect, Shmuel was incorrect in praising Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda is not correct. Because it says, Sinon, the radishes, their primary planting purpose was Nite Inish Adaita de Pugla. People plant them specifically for this soft radish growth, and they're not waiting for it to become hard. However, the Dikla, nobody plants a palm tree for these soft palms that will eventually harden. Lo Nite Inish Adaita de Kura. So therefore, the intention while you're planting it will help determine the bracha. This is a famous machlokes as to whether on orange juice you make a shahakol, which is how we paskin, or they make a bori pure eitz, which there is the opinion of the Chazon Ish, for example, and others that hold that since nowadays people specifically grow oranges, not for the orange, but for the juice inside of it, and they bedafka grow certain types of oranges specifically for the juice, so therefore you're growing it for the purpose of the juice, and therefore the juice is the ikker, and they hold lemaisa that you make a bori pure eitz on orange juice. Again, the Velt doesn't paskin this way, tamid and the Chazon Ish mistama paskin that you make a bori pure eitz. In any event, Gemara says, is that true? That dependent upon what the person's planting for, that determines the bracha? But I'll show you that that's not true. Varit sloth. Now, the sloth is an interesting type of a tree. It's known as the caperberry tree. And it has four components to it that are edible. It has leaves that are edible, and it has something called tomorrows, which are certainly small berries on them. It has the avionos, which is the major fruit over here, and the kafrisin, which is like a husk or a shell around the avionos. So there are four parts over here that are edible. So this slop, the nita inishadaita, the pircha, people planted for the avionos. And it says, utnan, almine nitzpah. Nitzpah is the same thing as slop. I don't know why they're two separate words over here, but the Mishnah uses the term nitzpah. So the Mishnah says, almine nitzpah, for this slop, for this caper berry, alo alin, for the leaves, the alha tomorrows, and the certain berries over here, they are both edible. You make a bar priadama, ome bar priadama, not bar priates, bar priadama. Val avionos, the ala kafrisin, but on the major fruit called the avionos, and the kafrisinus, like the husk around them, ome bar priates, they're considered fruits. So you see over here that even though the person didn't plant it for the alin or the tomorrows, you still make a bar priadama on them. No, people do intend to have the alin and the tamaros over here, and therefore they are planted also for those. Maybe not the primary, but also for those. But dikla, palm tree, lo nita inishadaita the kura. Nobody plants it for these hearts of palm. That's not the purpose at all. And they happen to be edible, but they're going to eventually become hard. And most people leave them on the tree because they want the tree to become thicker and stronger. So therefore, Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda, but we don't like that praise. We don't like Rav Yehuda's shita. And the Gemara says, "V'avogad the kalsi Shmuel Rav Yehuda." Even though Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda, we actually pass like Shmuel. Hilchos Kavasi the Shmuel. It makes sense to Shmalo follow Shmuel's opinion that you make a shakol nia bidvara. The Gemara continues and says, "Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, it's slav shel orla. If you have the first 3 years of a tree, it's also in the raisa to go and eat from that tree. So the slav tree, this nitzpah tree, this caperberry tree." That is during the first 3 years, so you have orla produce from this. So what's orla from it? So b'chutzla aretz, where the din, Rashi says over here, in chutzla aretz, orla is only a din d'rabbanan. So in chutzla aretz, zorek avionos, you only have to throw away, you can't get any benefit from the real essential fruit, which is the avionos. V'ochel es hakafrisin, and you can even eat the husks over here of the avionos. Lamembra, the Gemara says that seems to imply the avionos peri, the kafris and lat peri. That seems to say that the avionos are the only thing that are peri, because orla is only also the peri. But the kafrisin, which before we said is a bar priates, aren't considered a peri. But wait a second, or a minute, we just said, amine nitzpah, on the tzlaf tree, ala alami, ala tomorrows, on the leaves and on this berries on them, the tomorrows, omer bar priadama, v'al havionos, v'al kafrisin, on both the avionos and the kafrisin, omer bar priates. That implies that the avionos and the kafrisin are bar priates. So how come there's no orla on the kafrisin? That's the question. So Gemara says, because who do I make Rabbi Akiva? Because they hold over here, Yehuda Marab holds over here that you can only, you only have to throw away the avionis, but you could eat the kafrisin. If it's arla, they hold like Rabbi Akiva. What is that? It's a mission in Maestros. It's not. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva have a machlokis. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Tzlaf, the Tzlaf tree, you have to take off Trumas and Maestros. Misasa, tomorrow's the avionos, the kafrisin. You have to take off, not from the leaves, but from the tomorrow's, these berries on it, and the main fruit, the avionos, and the husks around the avionos, the kafrisin. They're all considered over here something that you have to take off Trumas and Maestros from. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Misaser, Elo Avionos Bovad. The only thing that's considered something that you have to take off Trumas and Maestros from is the Avionos Bovad. Why? Mipnei Shupri. That's the only thing that's a fruit. The rest of it is not considered significant enough, including the Kafrisin, and therefore this opinion that the Kafrisin don't have a din of Arla goes in accord with Rabbi Akiva that says they don't have the status of being a fruit. Gemara says, so why didn't Rabbi Yehuda Marad say the halacha is the name of halacha Rabbi Akiva? If an Amor wants to say something, he never repeats something that the Tana said. So he should have just said, Amor Yehuda Marav, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Why did he state it out without even mentioning Rabbi Akiva? Because Gemara says, I Amor halacha Rabbi Akiva, if he had told us the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, you know what we would have might have thought mistakenly? Have the meaning we might have said, Afilu ba'aretz, this would be even in Eretz Yisrael that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that the kafrisin aren't something that is orla. So that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, but we might have thought we paskin like Rabbi Akiva even Eretz Yisrael. Kamashullah, no. We don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael, but there is a rule. Kol ha-meikal ba'aretz, anybody that's meikal in regards to dinim of Orla or other dinim that are knowing in Eretz Yisrael, kol ha-meikal ba'aretz, so the halacha is kamoso, we paskin like that meikal opinion when we're dealing with chutzal aretz. So therefore, if we'd said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, we would have mistakenly thought the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva even in Eretz Yisrael, that the kafrisin don't need Orla, or aren't included in the din of Orla. So the halacha is that it's only in chutzal aretz, that's why we couldn't say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Avo ba'aretz, lo. But in Eretz Yisrael, the halach is not like Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says, okay, so say the name of halach like Rabbi Akiva b'chutz la'aretz. So then just tell us exactly that halach like Rabbi Akiva b'chutz la'aretz, because the kol ha'meiko b'aretz halach like Kamosa b'chutz la'aretz, and then we'll know that the halach is not like Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says he couldn't have said that either. Yamar Hachi, if Yehuda Amarav had said that, there's also a potential mistake. Habamina, you know what we might have said? Hani Mila would have said that the halach is like Rabbi Akiva b'chutz la'aretz gabi ma'aser ilon. That's only true in regards to maisa from a tree. The be'aretz Yisrael, the be'aretz gufa midrabanan. That's because the only things that you'd really take trumas of maisa midaraisa are the zayin minim. So therefore, this type of a tree, the caper berry, is not one of the zayin minim. So therefore, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's only the rabbanan. And that's why I might have said that the halach is like Rabbi Akiva in chutz la'aretz, because the whole din is only in Eretz Yisrael the rabbanan. But in Eretz Yisrael, where the din of Arla is daraisa, even on the things that aren't from the Zayin Minim, so then in the Kepaberi, the Tzlaf, the Nitzpah, I would say that that is a daraisa din of Arla, maybe Ema b'chutz laretz, nami nigzar, maybe even in chutz laretz we should be gozer. If you'd said that the halach is only like Rabbi Akiva in chutz laretz, I would have said only in regards to a din derabbanan, but not in regards to a din daraisa. Kamash v'lan, so the chiddush is, no, even in regards to a din daraisa in Eretz Yisrael, in chutz laretz we could go like the Mekel opinion. So that's why they had to tell us the way they said it. Ravina actually le Marba Ravashi. Ravina met up with Marba Ravashi, and because Zorik Avionos v'Koachel Kafrisin, he was in Chutz La'aretz. The Mefarshim bring down he was eating Orla in Chutz La'aretz, and he threw away the Avionos because, of course, he's not eating Orla. He was eating from a tree that would have been Orla. So the fruit, the Avionos, which are Orla, he threw them away. But the Koachel Kafrisin, he ate the Kafrisin, which were not halachically a problem. That goes like the shita that we just said, that in chutz laretz you go after the Mekel opinion, which is that the kafrisin aren't considered something that Arla applies to. Arla applies to a fruit, and the kafrisin aren't considered a fruit. That's what the Ravina saw that Marba Rashi was doing. Now, Amalei, he asked him, my daitra, why are you following this? Rabbi Akiva, are you following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the Mekel, who's Mekel in Eretz Yisrael? So if that's your reasoning, that you follow the Mekel opinion in Eretz Yisrael, in chutz laretz, you don't follow in Eretz Yisrael, but you only follow it in Chutz La'aretz. Is that true? So why didn't you follow an even more Mekel opinion? If the rule is that you follow the Mekel opinion, call a Mekel Eretz Yisrael, halach kimosa b'chutz la'aretz, then you should have followed an even more Mekel opinion of Rabbi Akiva, ula avid mar ki beishamai, the Mekel Yitzvei. You should have followed the opinion of beishamai that's even more Mekel than the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. What is that? It's not. This is a Tosef and Kilayim, the Tzlaf tree. So Beishamai Omri, Beishamai says, Kilayim Bekerem. If you were to plant a Tzlaf tree in a vineyard, you'd be over Kilayim Bekerem. And Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel Omrim, no. It is a tree, and there is no Isser of planting a tree in a vineyard. There's only an Isser of planting vegetables in a vineyard. So Beishamai holds that it is a vegetable, and therefore you're not allowed to go plant it in a vineyard. And Beis Hillel says it's a tree, and therefore ain't Kilayim Bekerem. It's not a problem with Kilayim in a Kerem. You're allowed to plant the tree. You can plant an apple tree, you can plant an orange tree, you can plant the caperberry tree in a vineyard. But both agree, both Beis Hillel and Mishamai, Elvei Elmodim, Shechai B'Arla, that it is Chai B'Arla. So wait a second, that's mutually contradictory. Haguf Akasha, Amrit Tzlaf, you're telling me according to Beis Shammai, the Tzlaf tree, Beis Shammai Omrim Kilayim B'Keren, meaning it's a vegetable. Amo Min Yeriko. But then you tell me, V'Ad Tani, Elvei Elu, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Modim Shechai B'Arla, that it is a tree. So Beis Hillel is consistent. Beis Hillel says it's a tree in both situations, no problem with Beis Hillel. However, Beis Shammai has a problem. In regards to Arla, Beis Shammai says we view it as a tree. And in regards to Kilayim, we view it as a vegetable. So how can that be? Again, we're reading the last line of the Gemara. It says, according to Beis Shammai, Kilayim Bekerem, so it is considered Kilayim in the Kerem, so Amma Min Yeriko. But then, V'hadatani, Elvei Elamodim, Shechai B'Arla, so it's considered a tree in regards to Arla. Amma Min Ilanu, so we got a problem. So Gemara says, no, beautiful Teretz, holokash, it's not a problem. Beis Shammai didn't know what the Psak was. Beis Shammai didn't know, have a clear understanding of what the tzlaf was. Is it a tree or a vegetable? And therefore, Beishamai sefuki misafklu. They were uncertain what the din was, and therefore, v'abdi hochalu chumra, since both of these are dinim daraisa, Isser of Arla, the Isser of Kilayah Kerem of Isserim deraisa in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, abdi hochalu chumra, v'hochalu chumra. So in regards to Kilayim, they have to assume it's a vegetable, luchumra. And in regards to Arla, they have to assume luchumra, that it's a tree. Therefore, what do you see? Because Makom the Beis Shammai have a Safek Arla. It's only a Safek Arla. And therefore, Utanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Arla, Netzafek Arla. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, go Sveika the Raisa Le Chumra. So Eretz Yisrael, Aser. However, Besuria Mutter, unless you know over here that it is a Vadai Arla, we have the right to say in Chutz Laretz, you can be in Syria, which is an area that David HaMelech captured and has a little bit the status like Eretz Yisrael in some dinim. So in Syria, you're even allowed to go and eat it because it's not Eretz Yisrael. And in Chutz Laretz, you can even tell the non-Jewish person, Yorei Velokeach, you can go down into the field and go and get the Nisam, as long as you ran to locate, you don't see where he's taking it from. And then he brings it back, it's a Suffolk. So you can even create a Suffolk in Chutz Laretz. In Syria, you can't create a Suffolk if he brings it to you, and you don't know, did it come from one or from the other? So then, in Syria, you're even allowed to eat it. But in Chutz Laretz, you can even create the Suffolk. So you see over here that this opinion is even more makel than Rabbi Akiva. So why didn't he follow this opinion? So the Gemara gives us a teretz that's good throughout all of Shatz. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, B'malka, Rabbi Eliezer, Abdinon Kabase. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, both great, great gedolim. We paskel like one versus the other, but the opinion of the one that we don't paskel like isn't totally disregarded. However, we have a famous rule. Despite the greatness of Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai was greater than Beis Hillel. They were sharper than Beis Hillel. But, nevertheless, Beis Shammai, B'malka, Beis Hillel, ain't no Mishnah. Even though Beis Shammai a great Tamidei Chachamim, they don't have any status in this regard when they argue with Beis Hillel, since we so clearly paskel like Beis Hillel, except in a couple of rare cases. So therefore, Beis Shammai b'Malkum Beis Hillel is called Eino Mishnah, which means that Ein Zu Safek El Vadai. So therefore, in regards to this din, we only say that it's a Safek in Eretz Yisrael, then you can go Lekula in Chutz Laretz. But here, even though Beis Shammai is a Safek, we don't go follow them Lekula in Chutz Laretz. Now the Gemara has another question. It says, V'tei why don't we say the Nasa Shomalipri, that these Kafrisin over here, the husks, are protecting the Abionos? And therefore, Rachman Amar, the Torah tells us, from the Pasuk, Biorolartim, or Loso, Espirio, the extra word S, comes to teach us S, Hatofel Lepirio is also included in Orla. So even though you want to tell me that the Kafrisin over here aren't the fruit, but they're a Shomer of a fruit, and therefore they should have the same halachic status of the fruit, and they have the din of Orla. Umayniu, what is this? Hatofa lepirio, shomer lepri. So the kafrisin should be chayiv in orla because of that. So Amar Rava, Rava answers, hecha aminin denasa shomer lepri. When do we say that something is a shomer lepri? Hecha deisei bein betolish bein mechuber. That's if it's protecting the fruit, so to say, when it's attached to the tree and even when it's detached from the tree. But hacha, in regards to the kafrisin, bein mechuber isei, while it's attached to the tree, the kafrisin protect the avionos. However, betolish, once you remove it from the tree, leisei, they also are removed, and therefore they're no longer protecting it when it's removed from the tree, and therefore it doesn't have the status over here of the varaltem or loso espirio es hatofel lepirio. Gemara questions this. This is what Rava said. Abaye questions his colleague, Esli Abaye, pitma shel rimon. But the pitum of a rimon, what is the pitum of a rimon? Rashi says this is like the flower that is on the top of an apple or a quince, la tapuchim v'lispargalin. So that's like the top part of the apple or the quince. Others say it's more like the pitum that we have on an esrog. In any event, this pitmishal rimon mitztarefes is considered part of the fruit. There's certain basic halachas in regards to tumah and tara that you need to have a kabetz's worth, some say, to accept tumah. It's the shita that Rashi brings out over here, mitztarefes lekabetz letumas ochlin, and others say no, any amount can accept tumah, it's only to transmit tumah you need a kabetz's worth. In any event, so you have over here this pitma of the remote can combine with the remote to be mitztaref to the share of a kabetz. Vahanetz shelo. And Rashi tells us the critically important thing over here. The nates in the rimon is the equivalent of the kafras in the avionos. So we're going to have a number of different fruits over here that we have to analogize to the kafras. So the nates over here is like the kafras. And it says, v'anates shalo eino mitztarif. It's not considered part of the fruit. So therefore, midikamar anates shalo eino mitztarif amo delav ochalu. We see that it's not considered an ochal. And nevertheless, v'tanya gabi arlo, klipe rimon, v'anates shalo, klipe egozim, v'hagarinin, chayavim yarlo. We see that it is considered chayavim arlo. So this is Abaye's question. How can you tell me over here that it's dependent upon whether it's a shomer or not when it's tolush or mechubar? Here it says clearly that the klipe rimon and the nates shalo are in fact chayavim arlo. So Gemara says, you're right. Taka Rava says, it's not that we say that it's a shomer lepri, depends on whether it's tolush or mechubar. El omer Rava, hecha namrina denas l'shomer lepri. When do we say that it's a shomer lepri? Hecha de'isi b'shas gemar peira. Was it there on the fruit at the time that the fruit fully matured? So, hi, kafras, leisei b'shas gemar peira. And the kafras is not present at the time that the fruit is mature, and therefore that's why it's not included over here in the din of shomer lepri, and that's why only the aviona has a din of orla and not the kafras. Gemara questions this too. Ini, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Ruhua, Hani Mischali the Arla. Now, again, Rashi tells us that the Mischali over here are dealing with dates, and they're like the Mischali of the dates, or like the Kafras of the Tzlaf. So again, this Mischali is the equivalent of the Kafras. So this Kafras-like Mischali of the date tree, when the tree is Arla, Asire, they're also included in the din of Arla. Hov and Asu Shom Lepri, they are considered Shom Lepri. Vishom Lepri Emas, Hebe, when did they become Shom Lepri? Bekufra. And this is only when they're Ketanim, Rashi says, Kshatmar Ketanim. Kodim Bishulim, before they mature. The Kokarile Shomer Leperi, and yet they call the Shomer Leperi, even though they're not there at the time when it matures. So again, Akasha. So Gemara says, Rav Nachman Sova like Rav Yossi. He holds like Rav Yossi. What is that? It's not. Rav Yossi Omer, Smadar. Now, Smadar, Rashi tells us over here, are grapes, Shenofal HaPerach, Bechol Gargir, Nira Le'atzmo, Kori Smadar. This is when the grape over here has lost its flower, and the entire cluster over here is known as smadar. This is an immature stage of the grape. So Rav Yossi tells us over here, when it's in the smadar stage, osur mipnei shu pri, because it's already considered a pri at that point in time. But upligi rabbanan aleh, and the rabbanan disagree, and the rabbanan say that at this point it's not a pri. And Rashi says, halach is kirabin, like the chachamim, and therefore, hilkach, how we learn this to the tzlaf. Evyonos, ba'od shah kafrisin behen la perininu. At the stage when the Evyonos have the kafrisin on them, they're not yet considered a pri. They're still too immature. They're not like the stage of the smother, according to Rav Yossi. And the chachamim disagree with that. And therefore, they say that's why it's not called the shomer lepri, even though Rav Yossi says that the smother are. And Rav Nachman paskid like him, so that's why Rav Nachman says that it is considered Shom Lepri, but the Chachamim disagree. We still have another question. He says, wait a second, do they argue in regards to any other trees? Do the Rabbanan argue with Rav Yossi in regards to the other tree? Mi pligi Rabbanan lei? We see in the Mishnah in Shviyas, during Shvita, you're not allowed to cut down trees because it looks like you're pruning them. So you're not allowed to cut them down when they have fruits on them because it looks like you're pruning them. So Bisham Yamrim, Kolo Yinola knows all trees, Mishiyotziyu. When they start to develop the fruits coming out of them, at that point, you're not allowed to go and cut them down. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim, HaCharuvim, each tree is different. The boxer tree, the caribou tree, Mishia Sharsharu. That's when they start having chains over here of the boxer. HaGifanim, vines, Mishia Gru. When they have the certain stage called Yigru. Rashi says, Shanovim, Gasim, they're very big grapes at this point in time, like a Garua. Nothing to do with the word worse. That's a certain stage. And we'll explain that in the Gemara in a moment, what that stage is. So they have to reach a certain stage for the boxer and for the vine, for the grapes. Vazesim mishi yanitzu. And the olives, when they reach the stage, called yanitzu. Rashi says, mishi yigodol hanetz sabit, when you have the nates growing around them. Vishar kol ilanus, and all other trees, mishi yotzia, when they start bringing forth their fruits. And v'amar Ravasi, and Ravasi tells us, Hu Boser, this stage known as Boser, Hu Garua is the stage known as Garua. They're interchangeable. Boser, whenever it says Boser, it means the stage of Garua. And this is Hu Pula Lovin, which is the same as the Pula Lovin. Where it says, what? Pula Lovin? It's a bean. What are you talking about with grapes? So where it says, Salka Daitach, do you think we're talking about a bean? Ela Ema, Shiaru, we said it is the size of Kipula Lovin. When the grape reaches the size of a Pula Lovin, a certain type of a bean, that they knew what it was, so then it is called a fruit. And at that point, you wouldn't be allowed to prune that tree. So now, man shamis le yomar boser in smother lo, who is the opinion that says the boser is considered a fruit, but the smother in even earlier stage is not considered a fruit? Rabbanan. This is the opinion of the Rabbanan. Uktani shar kol ilos mishiyutziu, and they're the one that say all the other trees when they start bringing forth any fruit. So this is a problem. Because it's only over here in regards to the vine that we don't consider the early stage of fruit. But in regards to the tzlaf, now we come full circle, in regards to the tzlaf, the caper berry, so then that is considered a fruit even in its earliest stage. How can you tell me when the kafris is on the aviona that it's not considered a fruit? So we have a problem. El Amar Rava, you know what it is? Hey, Chamrin and Davi Shomer Lepri, when is the kafris going to be considered a Shomer Lepri and therefore it's going to be chayiv in our law? Hecha deki shoklus leila shomer mayis pira. When do we consider something to be a real shomer? If you removed it, the tree would die. The fruit would die. Hecha ki shoklus lei. Here, when you remove the kafras, lo mayis pira. The aviona will not die. So therefore, bottom line is, the kafras is not really considered a good shomer. One time there was such a ma'isa, Hava Uvda, the Shaklul, the Nates, the Rimona, the Yavesh Rimona. One time, to show that this din is true, they took up the Nates, which is, we said, like the Kafras for a Rimon. So they pulled that off, and the Rimon died. The Yavesh had dried out. Shaklul, the Pircha, the Bitisa, but they did the same thing. They removed the perach over here of the batisa. The batisa actually tells us is the aviona. So they remove the perach, which is the kafras from the aviona, the akayim batisa, and the aviona didn't die. And therefore, this is the raya. This is what Rava meant to tell us, why there's a difference over here between the kafras. It's not considered a shomer lepri, even though a shomer lepri would be considered the din of arla, but this is not considered a real shomer for the aviona. Now, the next part over here, the Mashal is Mochek, and it says this was added on by the Halachos Gedolos, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, and is not really part of the Gemara. Nevertheless, we'll read it anyway. So this is from Bahag, from the Baal Halachos Gedolos. Vilchsa, how does he paskin? Kemar Baravashi, he paskin like Maravashi, who only threw away the Avionos. The Zorikas Avionos in Chutz La'aretz, he wouldn't eat that because it was Arla, but Ochelas HaKafrisin. He did eat the Kafrisin in Chutz La'aretz. That's not considered something that the din of Arla is knowing on. And since umilagabi arlo la perininu, in regards to the din of arlo, the kafrisin aren't considered a fruit. Lagabi brachas nami la perininu, it's not considered bari pri eitz. The lo mevarchin aleh bari pri eitz ella bari pri huadama. That concludes that discussion about the tzlap. Now we discuss pilpili. Pilpili are known as peppercorns. So Rav Sheshi says, "Amar shakel." Rav Sheshi says you make a shakel on it. Rav Amar lo klum. You don't make any bracha on it at all. Why? Because the Rav l'taimei. Rav says like his halacha shita elsewhere. The Amar Rav. If somebody chews these peppercorns, on Yom Kippur, when you're not allowed to eat, so potter, you're technically not over anything. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to do this, but you're potter mikoris, because it's not considered a food, and only things that are foods, if you eat them on Yom Kippur, would you be over koris. And likewise, kas zangavila, if you were to chew, eat over here ginger on Yom Kippur, biyom edikipure, potter, you'd also be potter, because they're not considered foods, according to Rava. We question this, however, Meisvei, Hoyer of Meir Omer, Mimashma Shinemar Vyaraltim, or Loso Espirio. So the fact that the Pasuk tells us that you have to take Orla from fruits, so Enyo Deashates Michaelhu, of course it's talking about a tree. It has to be a tree that gives fruits. So then, why did the Pasuk say early in the Pasuk, Elamatam Loma Eitz Michael? Why does it tell us that? Lohavi Eitz Shatam Eitz, so Epirio Shabbat, to come to include in the Din of Arla a tree where the tree and the fruits have the same taste. What is an example of that? Dezehu? Zeh HaPilpilin, these peppercorns. Lalamedchosh HaPilpilin Chayev Biarla. And that means that it's a fruit, so you should be usher and eating it on Yom Kippur as well. And by the way, as well, it also comes to teach us that Eretz Yisrael is missing nothing. So we seem to have a steer over here. In one place, we consider the pilpili to be a food, in other places, not. Gemara says lo kash. It depends on what type of pilpili. When it's moist, then it's considered a food. When it's dried out, it's no longer considered a food. Gemara continues and says, Amrei lei rabbanan lemeremar. The rabbis told meremar. The Gemara in Yuma says, Amalei Ravina, Memeimar, Kos Zangavila, if you chew, eat over here, this ginger, Biyoma de Kippure, on Yom Kippur, Potter, your Potter. Aye, we see elsewhere, however, the Gemara in Yuma, Vama Rava, Hai Hemlasa, what is this Hemlasa? So Rashi in Yuma over there tells us that it's some sort of a ground up ginger with honey. And Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah say over here that it's a mixture that includes ginger inside of it. So in other words, it's ginger. So this Hemlasa, the Asim of Behindoi, that came from a place called Behindoi, which is often translated as India or possibly Kush, Ethiopia. Shaya, you're allowed to go and eat it. Why would you think you're not allowed to eat it? So Rashi tells us over here, there's no din of Bishul Nochri, Bishul Akam. And likewise, you don't have to worry about it, even if they cooked it in their dishes, that it brings out the blios from their dishes. And that's because they used to always cook this ginger in one dish. Nobody used to do it with anything else. So therefore, there's no concern about blios of an Akam, and it's not a problem of Bishul Akam because it could be eaten raw. So therefore, and what's the bracha? So you do make a bar pri adama on it. So it is considered an ochel. So how can you tell me you're not chayiv on it on Yom Kippur? It seems to be a stira. So Gemara says, lo kasha. It's not a stira. Again, harbor tivasa, ha biyadeshta. It depends. If it's moist, it's edible. If it's dried out, it's not edible. Now we introduce a new idea. Chavitz kedera. Chavitz kedera is basically some sort of a dish over here. Rashi says, min meichel kofui. It's a congealed type of a dish. Later on, Rashi says over here that it is kimcha v'duvsha, it is some sort of flour with honey, umishcha and oil, and it's known as something called avrushdi. In any event, this is called chavitz kedera. And likewise, daisa, a porridge of some sort. Rashi says, chitim ketushos, ground up wheat, b'machteshes, it's ground up in some sort of a mortar and pestle. So Rav Yehuda amar shakol ni abivor, you make on this a shakol. And Rav Kahana amar bori mini mezonos, you make a bori mini mezonos. Now, b'daiso greida, with just the porridge alone, kuli amal apliki, the bori mini mezonos, the regular plain daiso without anything in it, so that's a definitely a bori mini mezonos. They only argue, kipligi b'daiso ke'en chavitz kedera. They only argue about the daiso when it's like the chavitz kedera. In that situation, Rav Yehuda amar shakol. Why? Because sofer duv sheika, when you add the honey is a critical thing, and the bari min mezonos aspect, the daisa part, is tuffled to it, and therefore he says you make a shahakal. And Rav Kahana disagrees. Rav Kahana amar, bari min mezonos is always ikr, sofer smida ikr, the flour is the ikr part. Amar Rav Yosef, kavasi the Rav Kahana mistabra. Rav Yosef tells us that this opinion of Rav Kahana, that you consider the flour the key part, is very appropriate. It's logical, because it goes along with what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Tavayu, kol sheyesh bo mechameshes aminim, mevarchin al bari minim mezonos. On anything that comes from the chameshes aminim, you always make a bari minim mezonos on it. And therefore, he likes the opinion of Rav Kahana that says on this daisa, which may have honey in it, but it has the grains in it, so therefore, it's a bari minim mezonos. Now let's analyze the statement that Rabbi Shmuel said. It's a very, very important halacha l'maisa statement. Gufa, Rabbi Shmuel d'Amar Tavayu, both Rabbi Shmuel hold, kol sheyesh bo, anything that has within it, mechameshes aminin, mevarchin alav bari minim mezonos. You always make on it a bari minim mezonos. So if something has any of the five grains in it, it's a bari minim mezonos. One exception we'll see to that is if it's really used over here just for consistency. So if you add flour to something just to make it a certain consistency, then it's tofel. Assuming that it's not a majority. Even then, if it's only added for consistency, but it's a majority, you would go and make a bari minim mezonos. But if you're just adding a little bit of flour for consistency, that's the only time it's nullified. But otherwise, anything that has the chameshes aminim in it, sheish bo, chameshes aminim, you make a bari minim mezonos. And then they also said, v'itmar nami, they said another similar statement, Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Tavai, they both said, kol shehu mechameshes aminim, mevarech Allah bari minim mezonos. Anything that has kol shehu of chameshes aminim in it, you make a bari minim mezonos. Now, these two statements, they're not exactly the same, but you need both of them. First one is kol sheyesh bo, has in it, it implies a mixture. And the second one is kol shehu, anything that is from the chameshes aminim, both opinions say you make a bari minazonos. And you need both, v'tzricha. Because if you only told me the second opinion, di ashminim kol shehu, you know what I would have said, hav aminim mishum di'isei be'inei, because it's extant, it's visible, it's there. So therefore, you have to make a bari minim mezonos. But if it's mixed in, aval yedei teruves, lo, I might have thought, no. Then if it's a minor component, you wouldn't make a bari minim mezonos. Kamash v'lam, that's why you have to tell me, kol sheyesh bo. So therefore, you need that, kol sheyesh bo. Nusa, just tell me kol sheyesh bo. V'yesh minim kol sheyesh bo. You know what it would have said? Hav aminim kol sheyesh bo, chameshes haminim, en. Then, if it has in it the chameshes haminim, even the teruves, then you would. Aval oriz v'dochan, in a mixture, lo. Because mishum da'ide taroves, they are mixed in and lost. But that would apply to oriz and dochan, which are translated variably as rice and as millet. It's not clear. Some say oriz is the rice, some say the oriz is the millet. And there are other interpretations as well. We'll just go nice and simple over here. That means rice and millet. So these are not from the five grains, but they could make things that look like the five grains. So it's a big halachic question. What is their status? So therefore, something like rice, so if it's in a mixture, you wouldn't make a bari minim mezonos. But if you only told me kol sheyesh bo, aval isei be'inei, I would have said if it's extant kol shehu, so then maybe name afilu oruz adochet nami v'rochel bari minim mezonos. Then you would make a bari minim mezonos. Kamash v'lan, according to Rabbi Shmuel, kol shehu mechameshes aminim hudu v'rochel bari minim mezonos lafuke oruz adochet dafilu isei be'inei lo mevarchinan bari minim mezonos. So here we have the conclusion of Rabbi Shmuel that any grain, if it's extant or it's not extant, even if it's in a mixture, even if it's a minority ingredient, you always make a bari minim mezonos on it. With the one exception, as I said, if it's only put in there for consistency purposes. But rice and millet, even if it's visible, it's extant, or when it's mixed in, on rice and on millet, Rabbi Shmuel hold, you don't make a bore mine mezonos. Now, Mitzvah Hashem will stop over here. We'll pick this up tomorrow. The Gemara's question, the Oris v'dochen, lo mivarchin a bore mine mezonos? We don't make a bore mine mezonos on Oris v'dochen. We, of course, know halacha l'maisa that on rice, you do make a bore mine mezonos beforehand, and that will be the Gemara's question on Rabbi Shmuel. With this, we conclude today's shir.